Good evening, everybody. It's really splendid to see such a very large crowd here on a Friday evening and before teaching is started here at the LSE. If we had the privilege of our guest speaker next week, I think the crowd would be even larger. It is a privilege for me to welcome Nina Berjanadze here to speak tonight on behalf of the LSE Georgian Society, who organized this. I'd also like to extend thanks. For those of you who aren't familiar with her background, let me just briefly run through what is a truly amazing CV. Nina took a law degree from Tbilisi University in 1986 and then went on to get her PhD in international law from Moscow State University in 1990. The year after that, she joined the Faculty of International Relations and International Law at her alma mater, Tbilisi State University, and then was first elected to Parliament in 1995. She was chair of the Legal Committee at the Parliament from 1995 to 1999, then went on to chair the Committee on Foreign Relations, has served as Vice President of the OSCE Parliamentary Association since 2000, and has been chair of the Georgian Parliament since 2001. And served as acting president of Georgia between November 2003 and 2004. She's going to speak tonight on Georgia, the South Caucasus, new perspectives for conflict resolution and regional cooperation. She'll speak for 30, 45 minutes, and then we'll take questions and answers from the floor. Nina.
Thank you very much. It's indeed a great pleasure and honor to be here. I think it's one of the most distinguished audience which I met during my visit in United Kingdom, because you are the people who will make future for our world, and I hope that this world will be much better and more just, and this will be the world where countries like Georgia will have really very distinguished place. I'm sure that here among you there are people who will be very successful politicians, very successful businessmen, and people who will serve their countries and their people, and who will change a lot. I'm really very happy to be here. One of the best experiences in my life was to be a teacher and to teach in Tbilisi State University. And I want to say very openly that to be politicians, it's a very serious obligation. It's very interesting. But what I miss really from my previous life, before I became Speaker of the Parliament, I miss my lectures and I miss my students. Because this is great experience to have dialogue, to listen how young people, how new generation looks what you are doing or what is going on in the country or what are challenges and perspectives of the country and of the region where you are trying to change a lot. What I would like to mention during my speech here is that some recent events which had place in my country during last 2 years after Rose Revolution. I will try to give you more or less full information about very interesting but very complicated region which we call South Caucasus. Of course, I will try to give you opportunity to ask questions, to give you more full answers on concerning issues which will be interesting for you. I would like to begin with a small, very short history of my country. And I just brought here, I think, wonderful book about spiritual treasure of Georgia. It's a first edition, and I'm very proud to present it here and to leave it here in LSE, and I hope that you will have an opportunity and you will be interested to look through this book, which will give you better impression what country Georgia is. I'm very happy that I know that there are some students here from Georgia, and I'm sure that they will do their best and they will change many things in my country in positive way. But I think it will be very important for them too, if you understand which countries they represented. Because it's sometimes so pity when we have to explain to our friends, to our colleagues in many European countries, who we are and what country Georgia is, what history my country has. Are we real Europeans or we are not Europeans? Why we want to be closer with European community? Why we want to be members of NATO? Why we want one day to join European Union's country or family? It's really pity because Georgia always was a part of Europe and Georgians always felt themselves as Europeans. Even in 15th century Italian map, you can see Georgia as a part of Europe. But unfortunately, Russia's empire occupation, Georgia disappeared from European map and from world's political map. But now we come back. And we want to share the same values as you do. It's so obvious that Georgian people are ready for real democracy. We shown this during Soviet period too. Georgia was a country which, together with Baltics, even during Soviet period, during Soviet regime, was fighting for independence, was fighting to preserve Georgian language, and some statehood, some status of statehood. Georgia was a country which protested against Soviet Empire in 1978. In 1989, when Georgian people, hundreds of thousands Georgians, came in front of the parliament building to defend their own language, to defend special article concerning Georgian language in Soviet constitution. Georgia was a country which was punished in April 1989, when hundreds of thousands of Georgians were in front of the parliament building, defended Georgian sovereignty and fighting for Georgian sovereignty and independence. And they were without any arms, civilians, ladies, children, young people, in front of the Soviet machine, against Soviet machine and Soviet tanks. And I don't know, you're too young, most of them are too young, and maybe you don't remember, but there were some photos in CNN, in BBC, in that time's newspapers, Georgian young guy who was without arms, he was standing in front of the Soviet tank and trying to stop this tank with empty hands. It was a real message for every Georgians that when we are together and we are fighting for freedom and for justice, we can win even in front of the Soviet tanks. I'm very proud that I was with my people in November 2003 when once again hundreds of thousands of Georgians came in front of the parliament building again to defend democracy, to defend free and fair elections, and to be sure that that country will go in right direction. One of the most difficult, serious challenges for Georgia at that time was that country has very weak authority, country has very serious problem of corruption, and country was going in wrong direction. Despite of the fact that we declared, even that time, very right principles which are so important for the country. I'm sure that many people who are presented here have had the opportunity that time to look Tbilisi's real events in CNN, in BBC, what was the main requests of the people. In November 2003, new government of Georgia took power in his hands. And we began real fight for real democracy in the country, and we began to fight against corruption, against syndrome of impunity, and we begin to fight to strengthen state institution and to strengthen civil society. Of course, we did a lot during the last 2 years. We really destroy corruption as institution. We are not speaking about events that we have no corruption anymore in the country, but we destroy corruption as institution. We are trying really to create democratic processes irreversible in our country. We are trying to bring in our society the values which gives to normal countries, to European countries, possibility to create really democratic and successful society in your countries. We are doing a lot, but we know that we have too many things to do, and we have too many challenges which we have to manage. Why we want to create democratic institutions in this region? Is it real will of Georgian people? Why we want to be nearer with NATO, with European Union? Is it real will of Georgian people, or it's only political decision of political elite of my country? I can say very openly that Georgia is a country where we have full national consensus concerning main principles of our society, concerning where we see ourselves, where we should be, what is the main priorities for our country. And we all know that we should work a lot and we should bring positive share in common European family. We really don't want to be beneficiaries only, the help and support from the side of Europe, from the side of rest world. We want to bring our maybe small but positive share in new European architecture. And I'm sure that together with the big countries, small countries like Georgia will make this world much better than it is today. What are the most significant and most important problems which we have in front of us? Today, Georgia is really lucky because Georgia have very serious and very decisive, very good leaders who knows what they want to do. But the main goal of all of us is not to be dependent in the future only from the leadership, to create really very strong democratic institutions in the country, to create so-called check and balance system, to have really independent judiciary in the country, to strengthen rule of law, to defend human rights, to create strong civil society. So these are the priorities which are very important, and these are priorities which is not possible to fulfill in 1 or 2 years, but we really did very serious and tangible progress during these last 2 years. But we know that democracy is an ongoing process, and we know quite well that we should do much more than we are doing today. Maybe one point concerning Georgians' international policy and main point concerning the main aim of my and my group's visit here in London. Today, Georgia is on the crossroad. We are going to have much closer relations with NATO than we had before. We are ready for NATO aspiration. We are ready for being together with you in very important efforts which not NATO and other countries are doing in to achieve more free and fair world. We want to take part in very serious struggle against terrorism, and we are part of anti-terrorist coalition. We really want to fight against separatism, which is serious threat for countries like Georgia and not only for countries like Georgia. We know what is this. We have 2 unsolved ethnic conflicts on Georgian territory, and we know how important it is to find peaceful and fair solution for such a difficult question. Georgia is a country who, during its history, had a lot of problems, but we always tried to find solution for these problems by peaceful way. I will mention a few problems which we still have, and I will try to show you some possible ways which are possible to find for this solution. You know that Georgia is the country which located in the South Caucasus between Black Sea and Caspian Sea. We unfortunately have very serious difficulties with our northern neighbor. And I would like to mention a few words about our relations with Russia, which is one of the most serious challenges for Georgia and one of the most serious problems for Georgia. We, of course, want to have very close and good relations with all our neighbors, especially with neighbors like Russia. But it's very difficult to find common language when you have absolutely different views and absolutely different values. Russia is, of course, speaking that Russia wants to be democratic and predictable, but it's possible only if Russia will not use double standards with countries like Georgia. I think that recent events show that, of course, in every country's interest to have predictable and democratic Russia, predictable and democratic countries, because everybody knows that democracies never fighting with each other. So that is why in our interest to have democratic countries around Georgia, and I think this is why it's in Europe's interest to have democratic and predictable Russia. I don't want to mention now during my short intervention some recent events which had place, and I'm more than sure that you saw article in Financial Times yesterday, you saw newspapers today, what are main challenges and main problems for now in maybe Russian and Europe's relations. But I hope that you will understand Georgian's position much better if you look these newspapers and these recent events much more closer. Problems which I mentioned concerning territorial integrity and concerning separatism. This is uncontrolled territories which still we have in our territory. These two conflicts, which are source of instability, these are two territories where we have, still have Russian peacekeeping forces, military forces, and these are the territories where we want to establish peace and stability. We want to involve international community more seriously to find peaceful solution for these problems. And I'm more than sure that it will be very important, not only for my country, but it will be very serious challenges for the whole region. Georgia is one of the most important countries in this region, and this is wonderful possibility to diversify energy resources, not only for Georgia and for the region. This is wonderful possibility to diversify energy resources for Europe. We Georgians have very serious cooperation now, and we are discussing issues how to transport oil and gas from Caspian Sea via Georgia to Europe, which gives you more possibility to be less dependent from only one energy sources. We have in Georgia very serious British investments. Baku-Tbilisi-Ceyhan was a pipeline which gives Georgia not only energy resources, but gives out to our country very serious political independence, because Georgia is a sovereign country, but Georgia is not independent enough. What is necessary to be really independent? For real independence, it's necessary to be independent, to be independent from other countries, to have your own energy resources, to have strong economy, to have real support from the side of international community. What our government did for these very serious problems, to solve these serious problems, what we did to improve economic situation in the country. We changed a lot. We, in the parliament, we adopted a lot of laws, and we tried to harmonize Georgian legislation with European legislation. Harmonization does not mean to copy laws which are good for Europe but maybe will not be implemented in Georgian society. Harmonization means that we in Georgia, we should create even minimal standards which are acceptable for European values, and then step by step to go forward and to continue to strengthen democracy and to continue to make in the country much more higher standards, to put a higher standard than we have until now. This this is a work which we are doing in our parliament. And one of the main directions of Georgian parliament, of course, is to strengthen relations with our neighbors. I spoke about South Caucasus, and I would like to give you brief information about problems, about Georgian relations with its neighbors. We unfortunately in South Caucasus have not only two problems in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, but we have problems between our two neighbors, Armenia and Azerbaijan. You know how difficult problem is the problem of Nagorno-Karabakh. But we are sure that solving this problem is very important for the whole region. Europe should understand that Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, these three South Caucasus countries, they are part of Black Sea security. As they are part of Black Sea security, it means that they are part of Mediterranean security. So Europe should understand that Georgia is not as far as it seemed just 5, 10, or 15 years ago. And we are looking forward to receive more understanding in these very difficult efforts. I think that it's as this audience was the most difficult for me, maybe it's much better to give you a possibility to answer the questions, because I'm not sure that I took the very right direction during my speech. I wanted to give you more information about all issues which were important and which are important for my country. But I think that if I give you an opportunity to answer questions, these questions will give me an opportunity to answer much better and to give you full information and to have monologue like this, because I think that I lose my professionalism as a lecturer of the university. I spent too many times during in conversations, in discussing in the parliament, in discussing with opposition and other members of the parliament. And this lecture, I think, needs something more. So maybe you will help me just to change direction of our today's speech and today's lecture. And your any questions concerning my country, concerning reforms, concerning realities in the region will be very welcome.
Thank you very much. Is this on? Yes. Okay. Let's start taking questions from the floor. If people can keep them to questions as opposed to long statements, that would be helpful. But let's start here in the middle. There's a roving mic that will come to you as well. Do you want to stand there? Do you want to sit down?
No, it's okay.
Okay. Okay.
First of all, let me express our gratitude on behalf of Georgian society to our chairman of parliament for finding time in tight schedule and coming to LSE. And my question is, given the realities in Russian-Georgian relationships, how you foresee, like, on the short term or on the long term development of these relationships? What is next? What is Georgian side doing, and what we should expect from Russian government?
Oh, thank you. What we should respect from Russian side, it's very difficult to say, you know, because what I said just a few minutes ago, that Russia is unpredictable. What I said, that Russia is unpredictable, this is a problem number one for countries like Georgia, and I think not only for countries like Georgia. I think nobody was waiting that a leader of or head of Gazprom will invite 25 European ambassadors in Gazprom's office and will say that, okay, if you Europeans will not be clever guys, we will do what we want to do. We will move our pipelines in directions of China and other countries, and Europe will be without gas and without oil, without electricity, as Georgia was left in January of 2006. So it's quite difficult to make some kind of prognosis. But, you know, I would like to repeat once again that we Georgians, we really want to improve relations with Russia. But we have quite serious differences in our views. I was very surprised when I saw interview of very high Russian politicians who explained that Russia is building its own democracy. What does it mean, its own democracy? What is this? Democracy is democracy, and you respect democratic values, or you don't respect democratic values. You can't create some kind of new democracies and some kind of new principles which are new for whole international community and for whole international world. Russia will decide to become really democratic and predictable country, we will find real solution in Russian-Georgian relations, because Georgia don't want to build its own security to create problems for the security of other countries. We understand quite well that you can't build your own security to damaging security of another country. But if Russia saw Georgian membership in NATO, for example, as a threat for Russia's national security, it will create problems, of course. It does not mean that Georgia one day will say that, okay, if it's a threat for you, we are not going to be a member of NATO, or we are not going to have closer relations with European Union. Today we have very serious problems with Russia because Russia uses economic sanctions against Georgia, violating all international norms and all international standards. Russia wants to be a member of WTO organization and asking Georgia to support Russia's membership in this organization. And from another hand, they are violating all international norms and standards which respected in World Trade Organization. This is a problem. This is real problem. And what will be if Russia will fulfill its own obligations which Russian leaders signed under CIS summit or under OSCE summit, everything will be in normal conditions. We will have normal civilized relations. It means that we will solve our conflicts by peaceful way because Russia is a mediator in Abkhazia and South Ossetia conflict. They inspired this conflict in 1992-93. They supported using their military base in Gudauta, Abkhaz separatists, sending Chechens, Basayev among them in 92, to fight against Georgians. And what they received? They received the same in their own territory in Chechnya, because you can't use double standards. You can't fight against terrorism and separatism on your own territory, supporting just in 100 kilometers nearby your borders terrorism and separatism in other region. You will receive it like boomerang, what happened with Russia. So it's difficult to say what will be tomorrow, but from our side, we will do our best to move these relations in normal directions, to move this direction in international framework. But today was very interesting summit in Moscow, as I know, CIS foreign ministers meeting, and Ukrainian minister declared that Ukraine maybe leave CIS and Georgia will do the same if these relations between Russia and Georgia will continue in this way until we had it now. So this is what I wanted to say.
I'm really proud to see you here, and the question is regarding our conflict in Abkhazia. I want to ask you, like most of the Abkhazians have Russian passports, and Russians are saying that they're going to go any place in the world to support the people. They mean they will come to support the Russian people in Georgia. This is what they mean. Usually, in normal countries, government asking the citizens to come back in their countries if there is some dangers, but Russians are going there to support their countries, their people. Can you tell me, in this case, what the Georgian government are going to do if the Russians are going, if the Russians are going to come to Georgia to support their people, their citizens?
They are already there. Russian peacekeeping forces are in Ossetia and South in Ossetia and Abkhazia. Thank you very much for this question. I think that some people here need to explain what do you mean, because many people, I am sure, don't know details. Despite of the fact that Russia is a mediator in the conflict, according to United Nations resolution and according to CIS decisions, Russia granted illegally Russian citizenship to the inhabitants of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. To explain in more simple, because it's very difficult to understand for normal people, for normal countries, what does it mean? It's something like if Japan, for example, will grant its Japanese citizenship to Kurilians without permission of Russian side, or if European Union will grant it European Union citizenship to inhabitants of Kaliningrad without permission of Russian side, because it's a territory both Kurils and Kaliningrad, the territory of Russia, as Abkhazia and South Ossetia are inside of Georgian territorial borders. We protested. We protested and we declared it in every high tribune in international community. But nobody, unfortunately, at that time, nobody seriously responded to this. But we knew why Russia did this. Only one reason why granted this citizenship to Ossetians and Abkhaz, only one reason was then to receive a special law in Russian State Duma, law concerning protection of Russian citizens anywhere in the world, despite of the fact they are in Russia, in Georgia, in United Kingdom, or everywhere. Now another surprise, just 2 months ago, I think, maybe 3 months ago, Russia State Duma adopted another statement that Russia could use force in any place in the world to protect their own citizens. So it means that if one day Russia will not like what Georgia is doing and how Georgia is doing in Abkhazia or South Ossetia, they can use the force. Against whom and what kind of force? I think it will be a little bit difficult to understand, but nevertheless, this is a problem why Georgian parliament, by the way, adopted a statement concerning withdrawal of Russian peacekeeping forces from these two conflict regions. Because if you are protecting your own citizens, as Russia's declared, you can't be neutral. You can't send peacekeeping forces to defend your own citizens. So what Georgia is asking for is to have really objective and neutral peacekeepers in Ossetia and Abkhazia. And you know, I'm sure, that in this case, if we will have really objective and neutral forces there, we will find peaceful solution in months.
Question over there. Gentleman down there.
It's a pleasure to see you, Ms. Burjanadze. My question is regarding the conflicts in the South Caucasus. Recently, President Saakashvili said Georgia was ready to give the highest possible autonomy to the regions of South Ossetia and Abkhazia. And if you know, the president of Azerbaijan, Ilham Aliyev, has offered the same kind of proposal for the for giving an autonomy for the Nagorno-Karabakh region. So do you think Georgia and Azerbaijan have similar positions in solving this these problems in the South Caucasus? And do you think that if peaceful negotiations do fail in these regions, military operations are possible to happen from both sides? Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, I would like to mention that we really hope that it will be possible to find solution, peaceful solution for Nagorno-Karabakh problem. It's very difficult, and it's more difficult problem than problem in Abkhazia and in South Ossetia, because Ossetia and Abkhazia, it's internal problem of Georgia. You know, it's difficult to say that it's internal problem. Partly, it's not internal problem, because Russia is a side of the conflict, openly to say. We are trying to avoid such kind of sentences, but in fact Russia is a site of the conflict, but formally it's internal conflict of Georgia. Nagorno-Karabakh is a problem between Armenia and Azerbaijan, so two countries involved in this conflict. I really do hope that it will be possible to find peaceful solution, because Caucasus is too small, and instability in every country will create instability in another country, and instability in whole region. And of course, we have absolutely pragmatic interest to have peace between Armenia and Azerbaijan. I don't want to speak about Azerbaijan's proposals because I don't want to intervene in Azerbaijan's internal affairs, let's say. But of course, Azeri and Azerbaijan should decide what kind of autonomy we are ready to give to Nagorno-Karabakh's representatives or inhabitants. Concerning Georgia, I can give you more detailed information. And just last year, President Saakashvili presented very interesting peaceful plan on South Ossetia in front of the United Nations, then in front of the Council of Europe, and in front of the OSCE. This is a very concrete plan and gives really highest level of autonomy which exists in the world. In case of Abkhazia and in case of Ossetia, what we want to leave as a matter of a central government or cases which will be in the hand of central government. These are common currency. This is international affairs, international politics, and defense field. So the main issues which are common for all countries, even where federal departments or federal parts have very high level of autonomy. We are ready to discuss any suggestions from the side of international organizations or from the side of de facto authorities of the conflict zones. We will protect their language, we will protect their culture, we will protect their historical and spiritual heritage. By the way, it was always so in Georgia. Everybody who even once have been in Georgia knows that we never had the problems with Abkhaz or Ossetians before Russian Empire came in this region. So I'm sure that we will find common language with these people.
This question all the way to back, gentleman white, behind you. Then we come to you.
Thank you very much. Well, 3 years ago when so-called Rose Revolution took place in Georgia, I personally, like the bulk of the nation, the Georgian nation, did not expect the country to turn into a very prosperous state. I didn't expect that the businesses will start flourishing in the present economic climate, and et cetera, et cetera. Neither did I think that those so-called unfrozen conflicts in the South Caucasus that you talked about would be, as it were, would start, as it were, unfreezing. But I indeed expected from the new government that finally...
Something else?
I expected something good. I expected that definitely once this new government came to power, Georgia eventually is just about to get an independent court system, but of no avail. Today in Georgia, just as it was before, here are quite a few Georgians, and they just wouldn't let me lie about this. Almost everybody thinks that we don't have an independent judiciary. Instead, we have a judicial system that does what the politicians or the prosecution says it to do. Well, I regret to say to talk about it, because I really welcome a lot of things that this new government does. But my question is, Mrs. Burjanadze, why we are particularly suffering in this field? Why we can't have an actual, a true and just judge, you know, who is not just, you know, a puppet of the government, but the one who makes decisions independently? Thank you very much.
Thank you. First of all, I would like to say that we, of course, have some problems with independent judiciary, strong judiciary. But the situation is not so critical as it seems maybe from your position here. We created very serious legal basis to create real independent judiciary system. But I said that we had very serious problems before 2003. One of the most serious problems was concerning corruption, very high level of corruption. And you know that if main governmental institutions were corrupted, it was not possible to keep absolutely clean and uncorrupted judiciary system. And of course, this system was corrupted too. That is why now we are working very seriously to clean this system from corruption elements, let's say. We did a lot, and many international organizations concluded that we are on the right track and we made very serious progress in this direction. But do you or anybody here in this hall know the country which created absolutely independent and strong judiciary in 2 years? Do we have such kind of experience in the world? Do we have experience in the world when you created all democratic institutions in 2 years after so many serious and difficult problems which we faced with? We were under Russian Empire 200 years, which was one of the most corrupted empires in the world. We were under Soviet regime 70 years. Then we became independent, but unfortunately we had civil war, we had two conflicts in our territory, we have corrupted government, that was why revolution had place. And how it's possible to do everything in 2 years, to create real independent and strong and clean judiciary system? I think this is priority for every country. And I don't think countries, I don't know countries which will say to you that there are absolutely clean and absolutely strong and independent judiciary. In every country, you will find some skepticism concerning some decisions of lawyers or some decisions of the courts. But we are going in right direction, and we know that we still have problems. And I think that strength of our government is that we are not trying to close eyes on the problems which we still have. And we are very, very much open for criticism or for new ideas. And if someone have ideas how to build democracy and how to make this democracy strong and irreversible in 2 or even in 5 years, you are very welcome.
Thank you. There's lots of people want to ask questions. Would you be willing to take a couple of questions together, or would you prefer to?
It's up to you.
Okay. If we can take this gentleman here. So, mic's there.
I'm the Estonian ambassador, and as you may know, there are lots of sympathy, support, and even, if I may say, love towards Georgia from Estonia's horizon. But I would like to ask you, Mrs. Bocianadze, I know that you have had very many important meetings during your visit to this country. What would be the main message if you are going back to home and meeting President Saakashvili? What you are going to tell you? What was the message the Brits gave to you, and how do you assess the understanding, not only in London, but also in the other main capitals of Europe, in Berlin and Paris, for Georgian cause? Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, I would like to thank Estonian people for support, which we always feel from the side of your country and from the side of your people. Georgia was not alone during its Soviet period life, let's say, because Estonians and other Baltic countries were with us, and we are not alone now, and we are very happy that we have very special relations with Baltics and with Estonians among them, because for us very important, of course, every experience is very important, but experience of sometimes experience of countries like United Kingdom may be less important than experience of Baltics. Why? Because UK have long democratic tradition. We don't want to wait 400 or 200 years to create democracy, so we need your experience more, because you did a lot during these 15 years of independence, and we want to share your experience, negative and positive. Negative just to avoid the same mistakes as you certainly did. Concerning messages from the side of United Kingdom, I'm very happy that this time the high officials in United Kingdom were informed much better about Georgia and about Georgian's reforms and recent events, as I saw just 2 or 3 years ago when I had visited here in London. Officials are very much interested. They know realities in Georgia, and we have full support from the side of United Kingdom. Full understanding concerning Georgia's aspiration towards NATO, full understanding about more active actions to fulfill action plan on neighborhood initiatives, because always when I'm speaking about European Union or maybe future membership, I'm always trying to just immediately to say, not to stress threaten European friends, that we are not going to be members of European Union and we are not going to ask membership in European Union in nearest years, because we are not ready for this. And we understand that we have to do too many things for being ready for European Union membership, and Europe should be ready for this. But we are looking forward to have closer cooperation with Europe. And here we have full understanding of our British colleagues. And they are giving us very important advice is how to continue reforms in defense field, how to continue reforms in strengthening democratic institutions, and so on. So I think that it was very important and very informative visit.
This gentleman here in red.
Thank you very much. A short comment and a question. I think in terms of Russia-Georgia relations and involvement in the conflict, we need to give a credit to Russia, at least in the ceasefire achievement when it was the war in Abkhazia. And the question is, it was my interpretation of your words that it would be much easier to solve this conflict in Abkhazia and Ossetia if Russia was not involved, have such an ambiguous involvement. How then Georgia would guarantee the security for internal displaced people who would come back to their homes? And why would Abkhazians or Ossetians will be more willing to agree on a status or on other issues in that case? Thank you.
Why Abkhazians or Ossetians will agree? I think they will agree, but what we have to do to build confidence, to rebuild really confidence between Abkhaz, Ossetians, and Georgians. And the book which I'm going to leave here, I brought it here especially because it shows to everybody who will look through this book, real history of Georgia. And it will give you an information what kind of relations we had with Abkhaz, with Ossetians. And it's very natural that one day we will find common language. In Ossetia, there are 30,000 people are living in Ossetia. 30,000. And half of them are mixed families, halfly Georgians. They all speak Georgian. Maybe more serious problems in Abkhazia, but nevertheless, I'm absolutely sure that if Russia will play even neutral role in these conflicts, we will have security guarantees for the people who will come back in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. But of course, we need international guarantees for the beginning, which are peacekeeping forces, common security and police forces, which are some observers who will observe realities and situations there. We need very serious international and economic support to strengthen economy in this region. And we need to make our country more attractive for Abkhaz and for Ossetians. I hope that this will be real solution of this very important issue.
The woman in yellow here.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming. It's a big honor for us. And I just have a question, probably a bit provocative one, but I had a feeling that Russia is guilty in everything all the time, and it's kind of finding an external enemy to mobilize sometimes resources inside the country. And in case of Georgia and Ossetia, for example, any single Abkhaz I met in my life, they didn't really want to be a part of Georgia, not because of the Russians, but because of probably something else. I don't know. So what the plan, real plan, to make these people really willing to live with Georgian again? And the topic is conflict resolution and regional cooperation. What about minority issues in Georgia, especially in Samkhe Javakheti, and like Armenian minorities and economic conditions they live in, and all these kind of tensions which are rising day by day? Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I begin from the second question because it's easier to answer, and then I will go to the first. Concerning minorities, you are absolutely right. We have minorities, big minorities, Armenian minority in so-called Samtskhe Javakheti, as you mentioned, and we have Azeri minorities in the middle part of Georgia. In Samtskhe Javakheti, we still have Russian military base, a Khalkhalaki military base, but we are happy that we at last we signed agreement on withdrawal of Russian military bases. And by the way, here we have very good and positive example of cooperation with Russia. They are implementing this agreement. They laid for 5 years, but okay, nevertheless, they are now implementing. Because the last date for withdrawal of Russian military bases, according to OSCE Istanbul summit of 99, was 2001, now 2006. What we are doing and what we are going to do in Samtskhe Javakheti, we are trying to rebuild infrastructure in this very difficult region because weather conditions are very difficult in this region. We are going to create a new working places, new jobs for the people who will lose their jobs when military base will be closed. And I think that we send the right message for these people when we decided from $300 million, which we received from Millennium Challenge account, which United States government granted to Georgia, we decided to spend quite serious amount of money, especially in this region, just to give to these people feeling that government take care. Another issue is, by the way, concerning minorities in Georgia, I can say that Georgia was one of the most tolerant countries in the world. And we are very, very proud that Georgia is the only one place where Jews never had the problems. And even in Jerusalem, you can see the museum where some very, very... very heavy exhibitions, just quite difficult to look everything, this history of Jewish people in many countries, what kind of problems they had and how difficult their life was. Only one country which is not presented in this museum in negative way, and only one country which is mentioned in a positive way is Georgia. And we are very proud that in the center of our capital, Tbilisi, you can see side by side synagogue, mosque, Georgian Orthodox Church, Catholic Church, and all other religious, they feel themselves quite safe. Concerning first question, it's a pity if I left there such kind of impression that I'm saying that I'm trying to create such kind of enemy from the side of Russia, but unfortunately it's very much like this. And I'm not saying that, let's be very honest. Most problems which we have now, we have because of Russia's wrong policy in the Caucasus. This is reality. Unfortunately, this is true. After collapse of Soviet Union, Russia was only one republic which saw in this collapse of Soviet Union tragedy. And I don't understand why. Because Russians, they received a great possibility not only to grant freedom and sovereignty to other countries, but to be really sovereign, independent, and prosperous country. But they are still trying to rebuild empire. CIS was efforts to rebuild empire. Now they are trying to build some kind of liberal empire, just to using gas, oil, some other economic mechanisms. You know, it's my English is not good enough to say this sentence in English, but I'll try. Russians have very good sentence. If you have something good, you are not look. If you have something very good, you are not looking something better. we had very bad relations with Russia, and we had problems with Russia. So that is why we are looking how to deal with this problem. What to do? How it's possible to have normal relations with your neighbors if from one side your neighbor declaring that it respects your territorial integrity and sovereignty, and from another side they are helping separatist regime in Abkhazia and South Ossetia? How it's possible to find solution of this very difficult issue? And by the way, concerning what Abkhaz and Ossetians want and what are their feelings? Ossetians, for example, they declared, same Abkhaz, say they want to be independent. In the entrance of Tsikhinvali, which is the capital of Ossetia, you can see the great billboard, President Putin. And you can read the sentence under this President Putin's picture. President Putin is our president. I asked Ossetian leaders, could you be so kind to decide what you really want? You want to be a part of Russia or you want to be independent? Same question I would like to ask Abkhaz. What they really want? They want to be independent or they want to be a part of Russia? Because Abkhaz leaders, they send letters to State Duma and Russian officials that they want to reunite it with Russia. So I think this is only political question. And new generation, of course, they lost some right orienteers, can I say this? Because they have no information. And what is the most important problem in this region is that they are in vacuum. They have no information. Only possibility for Abkhaz and Ossetians to receive Russian newspapers and to receive Russian TV channels. This is real.
This gentleman here.
I think we are speaking too much about Russia.
Hi, thank you. Great having you here indeed. My name is Archil Kekelian. I'm an MBA student at London Business School, and hence I have a business question. In your speech, you mentioned recent problems with Georgian wine in Russia. Again, Russia, sorry for that. Do you think that Georgian wine has a potential to regain its presence in Russia? And if yes, how? Because this problem seems to be more of political nature rather than business or sanitary. And also sort of follow-up question, do you think that Georgian wine has potential in Europe and other countries like China? The president was there recently, so.
Thank you. We are working very hard now to find new markets for Georgian wine and for Georgian mineral water. And I am sure that people who will have an opportunity to taste Georgian wine or Georgian mineral water will understand that this is really very good wine and very good mineral water, and we have really very serious resources in this direction. But it's not so easy to find new markets. What Russia did, of course, it's only political decision, because we didn't receive any arguments concerning quality of Georgian wine or quality of Georgian mineral waters. We sent Prime Minister in Russia. We wanted to send Prime Minister in Russia. They refused to meet with him. We sent it Ministry of Agriculture, if it's not political question, to discuss what are the real reasons. They did not receive Ministry of Agriculture. So it's absolutely clear that this is a possibility to punish Georgia for Georgia's aspiration towards NATO, for Georgians willing to be really independent and not to have Russia's negative influence in the country.
The gentleman there.
Hello, my name is Anton. I think I came from an evil country called Russia.
Anton, sorry very much, but I hope that your generation will improve the situation.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And if one day you will stay here, you will speak about positive relations between Russia and Russia's neighbors.
Yeah, I'll stay there. My question is about, in your speech you noticed, you said that you destroyed corruption as an institution. And as a human rights lawyer, I'm wondering what actually was done. How many high state officials, corrupted official, was sent to prison and so on?
Too many. It's really not a case where we have to for laughing, because it's really from one side it's justice when you are putting people in the prison. From another side, of course, we all understand that it's human tragedy. But it was necessary to do, because it's really true. It was corruption as institution. And that is why quite a lot high officials, and I can give you just not names, but their positions, were put in jail. Minister of Transport and Infrastructure, Minister of Energy, Chief of Chamber of Control, Minister of Railway. Is it enough? I can continue. This is the highest levels and highest representatives. Minister of Custom Department, so head of custom departments, and many others. Many others. Governors, mayors of towns. More than hundreds.
Pleasure to see you here, but I think that my question maybe will not be very pleasant. I'm sorry, but it's about first question is about gas, about Russia's supply of gas. You know that one of the conditions of WTO to join Russia to WTO, it has to equalize prices inside of Russia with European prices. So, and this is not a shock for Europeans, but this is a shock only for Russians. So then, why it's a shock for Europeans that Russia hires up prices for Ukraine, for example, and promises to highest price for Belarus or Baltic states? Because it was already around 15 years, this transition period, where prices were like they were. So why then it has to higher prices inside of Russia and doesn't have a right to higher prices for its neighbors? And the second question is about, you mentioned that the only country which didn't do any harm to Jewish, at least was mentioned like this, was Georgia. But maybe you forgot about Joseph Djugashvili, known by more like Stalin. So I just wanted to ask you about, how do Georgian, modern Georgian people estimate their fellow man, Joseph Stalin? Because just want to know this. Thanks.
Thank you. Concerning first question, of course Russia have right to put any price which is more or less reasonable. But the case is how they did it. And you have common rules, international rules of regulation, how you can increase prices, how you can change prices. And how it happens, and 15 years the prices were low, and one day, when it was very important what will be in 1 month in Ukraine, what will be the results of elections, this day was decisive. And this day was the day when Russia decided to make prices higher. This is a problem. The problem is not price. The problem is why you are using this price. If you are using this as a possibility to improve economic situation in your country, as you are using it to make this according to international standards, nobody will criticize you. And if, of course, you will keep some timing of preliminary cooperation or preliminary discussion. But when you are using this as a mechanism for political pressure, this is the case. This is why Russia was criticized. Russia increased prices, doubled prices with Georgia. Okay, it was not fair, but nevertheless, we are paying. And I'm sure, and believe me, and please note it, in a few months, if things will continue like this, Russia will double the prices with Georgia, because they will use this gas price as a mechanism for political pressure. And in June or July, prices of gas in Georgia will be higher than we have today. Another issue is, and by the way, it's sometimes Russia's tried to say that, okay, look, Europeans paid much more than you are paying. Yes, of course. Because many things depended from distance. I don't want to go into the details, but Georgia is closer with pipeline than France or Germany or United Kingdom. So sometimes differences of prices depended from this too, and depended from agreements which was signed before. Another issue concerning Stalin, you know, I think that no nation should answer, whole nation never should answer for persons, even these persons became leaders of big empire. And what Stalin did, Stalin did not do it only against Jewish. Do you know that percentage of Georgians who was killed and sent in Siberia was the highest among other Soviet nations? Yeah. You know, we can't answer what Stalin did because we were the victims as Jewish, Russians, Ukrainians, or others were. Georgians were victims too. And I want to repeat once again that percentage of Georgian population who became victims of Stalin period and who, by the way, was killed in Second World War was the highest in the former Soviet Union. So it was our price which we pay for Stalin's presence as a leader of Soviet Union.
I'm going to take just a couple more questions because I think we're impinging on the good grace of being here. So we take that question there, and then microphone coming to you there.
I would love to start with one thing which is very positive. I think that half of the Georgians, or maybe more, who are sitting in this room are my very good friends. I'm Russian, I'm from Moscow, but surprisingly enough, the majority of my Russian-speaking friends in London are Georgians. My father used to say, that Russian is a bad person who never had a Georgian friend. Though my question will refer to something different. A lot of these friends I mentioned, they are actually, you know, when Western media are giving this big play to the fact that Georgia as well as Ukraine are democratic states and so on and so forth, and they are giving big play to the fact that Georgia and Ukraine are creating the coalition of democratic states. In that famous Georgian intelligentsia, in famous Georgian intellectuals, this kind of things, they just provoke laughter. So how would you comment on that? And the second question is, according to some recent polls, opinion polls, only 17% of Georgian population supports Saakashvili. So who do you think are those who are not satisfied? And what do you think people are looking forward? And what political figures you see in Georgian political landscape who would come as new leaders?
Thank you. 17, it's 17 or 70?
17.
I'm sorry, because maybe okay. Thank you. Concerning second question, I think that you have no right information about this. Believe me, it's not so. And in nearest weeks, there will be independent what figures or research concerning rates of politicians. We have our own figures, but we want to check once again, and it's much more than 70%. And it's not 90% or 85% that it was just immediately after revolution, and it's absolutely normal, because when you have 85%, when we win this we won these elections and we received how much 86 or 90. 87. It was disaster for me because it's absolutely understandable that you can't go up. It's absolutely obvious that you have 87% of support of the population. It's a greatest obligation. What is very important, we have still very high support. I think that right figures are 65-70%. But even if it's a little bit less, it's normal. Because we are doing very difficult and very sometimes unpopular reforms, because these reforms are quite painful. When you are reducing bureaucracy, it means that you are leaving without job quite serious number of people. And of course, they are not happy about this, despite of the fact that they understand that it's necessary for ongoing reforms and it's necessary for country's future. Nevertheless, they are not happy. But it's very important to have leaders who are not afraid even to lose their popularity but doing right things. I don't want to have in my country a leader who will do everything to keep his rate or his popularity, but will do wrong things. I prefer to do just opposite. And if I will lose the next election, for example, as a Speaker of the Parliament, but if I have a feeling that I did right things during my term, I will be happy. Because my aim and the aim of President Saakashvili and the aim of the people who are accompanying now me, our aim is not to keep our position as long as possible. Our aim is to do right things and to achieve these goals which are important for our country. Another issue, first question which you mentioned, thank you for this kind words, and I am happy that your generation have a possibility to speak with elder generation and still have these warm feelings which exist between our people. I'm very happy to say that despite of all this criticism what I said here in front of you, in Georgia we have no anti-Russian feelings. And if you have any doubt, I can invite you in Georgia. And and you can walk around the streets and you will see that there are no anti-Russian feelings in our country. But there is a very strong feeling against Russian politics, because this is not predictable and fair politics which Russia is doing in Georgia and South Caucasus. We are trying to keep these contacts, and I hope that your generation will not lose this, what was really good in our relations. But do you know that when I was giving interview in Echo Moskvy, when I was in Moscow, there was a question which young people, 18, 25 years old, should answer. Question was, what is the population of Georgia and who are Georgians? The answer was that population of Georgia is 35 million. So Russian mass media, unfortunately, create such kind of face of enemies in Georgia that your generation could not imagine that we are only 3 million, not 10 times more, because we can't create so serious problems for your country as sometimes your politicians trying to... Democracy what? So, I don't know, I said that I don't know about this. I don't know any Georgian intellectuals who are laughing on this issue. If you know, you can give me names and I will speak with them.
Right, ladies and gentlemen.
Even if it's true, and even if it's not real democracy in the country, intellectuals should not laugh. Should not laugh. They should do something to change the situation. So if they are laughing, They are not real intellectuals, believe me.
There are a lot of people who would like to ask questions, but I'm afraid that we've actually run out of time, and I apologize for the fact that there won't be a chance to get to all the questions that people wanted to ask. It's been very interesting listening to the questions.
If there are absolutely different questions, I am ready to answer two or three more questions if there is some interest, because of I want to receive excuse for the first part of my lecture.
All right, I'm gonna take three more questions, and they're gonna be randomly distributed. So one from over here, which is this lady here, the gentleman with the glasses there, and then the gentleman here with the blue checkered shirt. Okay, in that order. If we'll take those three questions together as one last go.
Well, I have two questions, in fact, but I will ask only one since it's the most important. It has been asked already, but I still didn't get why do you think that Epatia should continue with Georgia?
Should
continue with Georgia in the future? Because, well, it used to be a single country, despite we know that when Georgia joined Russia in the beginning of the 19th century, Epatia joined Russia 10 years later independently. Okay. And we know that from history that when such national conflicts appear, it is extremely difficult to rebuild this confidence you were talking about. It takes really decades and decades, and maybe it never succeeds. So why do you think that Epatia should still continue with Georgia?
Okay. If we'll take all three questions at once. So the gentleman there with the glasses? No, the other one to the right. Sorry. Too many gentlemen with glasses in the audience here. Yes.
My question was similar. We've heard a few negative comments about developments of the judiciary, but I'm a fairly regular visitor with my family for holidays, and I have to congratulate you on some of the improvements that we've seen as English visitors. The abolition of visas is great. Now we can drive and we do not find every kilometre there's policemen stopping us, asking us for money, especially in Adjara. It has really improved a lot, so I think we should not be discouraged. As a visitor, it's very easy to see the signs of improvement. The question that I had, I wondered if you had any comments on trade between Abkhazeti and the rest of Georgia. Because I can go down to Zugdidi, I can see the border, and I see there's no traffic getting through. In Tbilisi, I cannot buy Abkhazian wine or Abkhazian oranges. And I think it's not just the Russian guards that stop the traffic, it's also the Georgian guards. The railway line, the tracks are there, but there are no trains. And I think, from what I understand, the Georgian government is not in favour immediately of opening those connections. And I wondered if you could explain some of your policy about trade and links with Abkhazeti.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the very last question is this gentleman over here in the blue check shirt, or blue striped shirt.
My question is, has there been any measures taken to maintain the security of the Baku-Tbilisi-Ceyhan pipeline, especially in the area of Armenian-populated Samkhe-Javakhiti? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I begin from this last question because you raised especially one region. I don't think that we need some special measures in this special region. We have to protect this pipeline in every part of this pipeline. I don't think that we have any serious problems only in one region or in another. And we are doing our best. We are protecting this pipeline according to international standards. We have very serious cooperation with BP and others and some other professionals who knows how to protect pipeline. But I want to stress once again that we have no some special problems in any part of Georgia concerning protection of this pipeline. Second question, thank you mentioning this traffic police, and by the way, a lot of policemen were put in jail because of corruption too, and this is why we manage this situation, and now we really improve the situation. And concerning trade with Abkhazia, you know, from the very beginning, you are right, we had very tough position concerning railway connection between Suhumi and Tbilisi, and because concerning trade relations between Abkhazia and rest part of Georgia, because there was some some possibility to make some pressure, economic pressure, just to force Abkhaz separatists to go to begin the dialogue. But just two or maybe a little bit more years, we already decided to change the situation. And as before, we were talking about such kind of schemes, that political settlement and then economic relations and economic development. Now we are speaking in to do we are going to do it in parallel way. So to have political negotiations to try to find some political settlement, even making small steps forward, and at the same time to have closer cooperation to try to invest in Abkhazia, in South Ossetia. And by the way, we have very serious program, European Union helping us very seriously in South Ossetia, granted Ossetia a few millions just to rebuild infrastructure, schools, and to build small factories just to create new jobs. And I hope that this will give some fruits in the nearest future, and you will buy Abkhazian wine and fruits in Tbilisi, which we miss too. But another case is that Abkhaz, they prefer until now to send these all goods via Russian so-called Abkhazia border, because it's easier to pass through. It's, they have no special some special control, and of course Russia is doing its best to link Abkhaz and Abkhazian people more with Krasnodar Krai than to the rest of Georgia. And first question concerning Abkhazia and the history of Abkhazia. You know, I will be very happy if you find time to find a little bit more information about Abkhazia and about history of Abkhazia, if Abkhazia ever been independent or not, or what was legal act or legal base of this independent. When this happened, you can see in Abkhazia Georgian churches, which was built in 8th century, in 9th century. You can read Georgian script in Abkhazian churches walls. You can see Georgian painting. So it means that Georgians always were there, and we never had problems. And why Abkhaz should find common language with us? You know, some Russian politicians gave us such a question a few months ago. Will you agree to have a referendum in Abkhazia just to give to the local population possibility to choose what they want, in what country or in what conditions they want to live? I think they were surprised when we said that, yes, we agree, but only one precondition. Just to have referendum among all population of Abkhazia which lived in this conflict zone before conflict until 1992. Let's ask everybody, because it will be not fair to ask only to these people who, some of them, who took in taking part in Georgian genocide together with Russian troops. And it's not fair not to ask this question to the more than 300,000 refugees and IDPs who have no possibility to come back to their homes and to put candle in the grave of their sons and loved ones. So let's do it. We are ready. Let's have elections, let's have referendum, but let's ask to everybody who lived there before conflict. And decisions are there. What they will decide, we will agree.
Right. There are lots of people who I haven't been able to call on in terms of questions. I think you're probably going to be here for about another hour and a half if we were to take all the questions here. But it's been a very long 4 days in London in terms of discussions. And I think we've indulged on Nino's good graces in terms of an hour plus worth of questioning at the moment. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to draw things to a close. Let me take this opportunity again to thank you for coming and speaking here. I don't think you have to be embarrassed at all about loss of lecturing skills, having turned parliamentarian. They're perfectly fine. And Tbilisi's loss in terms of the university is parliament's gain. Let me ask you to thank Nina for her time and for her frankness in terms of the answers. And thank you all for coming, particularly on a late Friday evening before term has started.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really would like to thank you very much for this great opportunity, and I hope that I give you more or less full information about our views. Believe me, what was absolutely, I was very sincere, despite of the fact that politicians mostly have bad reputation in this direction, that they are not sincere, but I tried to be really sincere. And I think that I hope that I will have an opportunity to present you the second and third book, and it will give you more full information about my countries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.